in observance of Black History Month, HBCU iRadio and HBCU Smart TV is proud to present its inaugural HBCU Authors Showcase. For this episode, we're blessed to have joining with us our good friend, Dr. Larry J. Walker. Dr. Walker is an assistant professor, University of Central Florida, Department of Education, Leadership, and Higher Education. Previously, he was selected as a Congressional Fellow with the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. After completing his fellowship, Dr. Walker served as the Legislative Director for Congressman Major R. Owens. Dr. Walker's responsibilities included supervising the staff and developing the Congressman's legislative agenda. During his tenure, Dr. Walker worked on the No Child Left Behind Act and amendments to the Higher Education Act. Dr. Walker is the co-editor of two books, authored, co-authored several book chapters and journal articles. Today, we are going to be talking about an article that he penned entitled, We Are Family, How Other Mothering and Support Systems Can Improve Mental Health Outcomes Among African-American Males at HBCUs. And Dr. Walker published this, with Indiana Press. Dr. Walker, welcome to the show.
Mr. Ray, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you point out in your abstract that HBCUs continue to play a pivotal role educating students from underserved communities. And although some HBCUs struggle with high attrition rates, they enroll low-income, first-generation African-American male students. You go on to write that, however, HBCUs must focus on the mental needs of African-American men. Let's talk about that and elaborate further on why you took time to pen this particular article and why you're so passionate about helping to raise awareness in reference to improving mental health outcomes among African-American males at HBCUs.
Mr. Ray, thanks again for the time to talk about what I've wrote about this for the last couple of years. That's a really important topic. Mm-hmm. And so fortunately, nationally, we see an increasing conversation regarding mental health generally in this country, mm-hmm. among athletes, celebrities, et cetera, which mm-hmm. is wonderful. Right. But we also know that in marginalized and underserved populations, particularly we talk about among Black men, that we're more likely to be exposed to certain traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. These stressors. And some of these, traumas come before we even attend college, whether it's community violence, mm-hmm. familial violence, but we also have to talk about the impact systemic racism has on Black men, mm-hmm. In terms of, the prison industrial complex, mm-hmm. Our interactions with various groups and how that contributes to our traumatic experiences. And like I said, overarching issue, trauma that we deal with on a daily basis as Black men is racism, systemic racism. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to pen this piece and it was published just a few months ago mm-hmm. because it's, like I said, it's a really important topic and I've written about it. And we need to really also talk about the important role HBCUs play in taking young men who may have been previously exposed to traumatic experiences, but also can happen while you're enrolled in college, and mm-hmm. then help them find a way to seek out support and try to improve their lives, their mental health outcomes, and certainly their academic performance.
Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, you put the whole thing out that there's a stigma, unfortunately, and misconceptions associated with mental illness in our African-American community. And you write that disproportionately African-American men are exposed to traumatic experiences, quite frankly, that impact their performance academically and social emotional functioning. And may I tell you, kudos to you taking time to look at that, do the research and then write about it and to help bring it to the forefront. And in terms of just raising our awareness and what have you. So let's talk about it a little bit further. You can elaborate on how HBCUs, you believe, are fitted and suited uniquely to increase their self-behaviors of African-American men because of what you refer to as other mothering and support systems.
Yeah, sure. I want to highlight for the people who are listening, watching, in terms of other mothering, and I talk about this in the article.
Right.
Certainly not a phrase that I created, but it goes back to slavery.
Right.
Where, as I said in the article, that Black women become surrogates for other women's children.
Yes.
Depending on the circumstances.
Right.
And we know within the Black community, familial relationships, which I talk about in the article, are really, really important, right? So HBCUs, as I say, become surrogate parents at times for some Black students, particularly Black males. Mr. Ray, you, like myself, have had many friends who attended HBCUs, and they talk about entering, and they say maybe I was a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And when they left, and when they left, they were scholars.
Yeah,
and that's what our institutions do, and that they succeeded at for years and continue to do so.
That's just so awesome. If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the HBCU Nation Radio Show, HBCU Smart TV, and today we are absolutely just thrilled to have with us our good friend, Dr. Larry J. Walker. We're featuring him today as a part of our inaugural HBCU Author Showcase for Black History Month. And today we are discussing an article that he penned recently entitled, We Are Family, How Other Mothering and Support Systems Can Improve Mental Health Outcomes Among African American Males at HBCUs. Again, my good friend, Dr. Walker, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Ray.
I love how you laid this all out. And again, you point out that in your abstract that the purpose really of the article is to explore how other mothering and tenets, including religiosity and spirituality, cultural awareness, and equilibrium change, can increase the self-help behaviors and academic performance of academic males at HBCUs. And let's talk about, you know, first of all, before we get to that, back to the point of how important it is to change the narrative just regarding mental illness itself.
Yeah, so there are a lot of stigmas and misconceptions in our in society in general.
Right.
Particularly when we know there are challenges relating to males who are more hesitant to seek out support. And then when you continue to let, you know, nuance that out, Black men.
Right.
Those reasons why Black men in particular are hesitant, and I outline this in my article. But once again, I go back to issues related to systemic racism, also in terms of the lack of counselors, mental health practitioners with similarly lived experiences, right?
Mm.
So not a lot of Black African-American male or female practitioners, certainly not as many as we need nationally. And then there's, you know, like I said, once the stereotypes and misconceptions, the idea about what it means to deal with mental health challenges or anxiety disorders, et cetera. And while we made some progress in our society, there's a long way to go. But like I said, a lot of that history of mistrust of Black men, I talk about this, one of the things I mentioned is the Tuskegee experiment, right? So there's a history of mistrust with healthcare system, right? And so once again, the Tuskegee experiment, as I use as an example, there's a lot of mistrust among Black men in terms of healthcare systems. We know that African Americans are more likely to be discriminated against when they see a physician. So these are challenges that the healthcare system, and once again, we talk about systemic racism, has to address so that Black men feel more comfortable discussing these issues.
Right now, as we discuss this, and I always love having you on, really, gosh, you really, I'm really thankful for you and the research that you do and the work that you do. As I said, you're a true scholar and a gentleman. Thank you again just for doing what you do and being so passionate about it. But let's kind of just, narrow this down a little bit further and talk about what you may know or in regards to, are there any particular models out there right now? Anybody, any particular school that you might want to point out that you are aware of that maybe taking this on in some way? And if not, go ahead and elaborate a little bit further on how important that it is. You just spoke about the fact that, okay, we don't have many that may have the level of experience and to be able to, and not many of us that are actually right now actively involved professionally in this particular regard. But any particular people you want to give a shout out to that may have something close to resembling what you're talking about here, and the fact that HBCUs are suited, if you will, uniquely to be able to, in terms of helping the self-help behaviors of African-American men, and because of the other mothering and support systems?
I think generally that, Mr. Ray, I think generally HBCUs do a better job.
Gotcha.
I know over the last year or so, I've seen more what I peer talks. I think Dillard might have had one a few months ago about mental health. And, you know, it doesn't deal with challenging students, you know, not challenging, but certainly having open a dialogue to begin to discuss this issue. But I think that our institutions are understanding this issue because, our, once again, our students are coming from marginalized, underserved populations, so they're more likely to come to our institutions with these challenges, right?
Right.
So, like I said, ideally, what I've seen more, and I think maybe Bowie State and a few other schools over a few months ago have had over the last few months, year or two, are having dialogue, having discussions, open forums. We're seeing more of that. But I think overall, in terms of generally in our institutions, we can, you know, certainly do more, and we have always done more, fewer resources. But like I said, I do want to commend, you know, our HBCUs in general and doing what they've done and bringing these students, because while we're using the word trauma now, you, as I said, you and I before, we've known that this is old trauma, something we experience, particularly since we've, we've come here, you know, we're brought here. So it's not like it's new. And our HBCUs have consistently tried to find ways to support systems and haven't done a great job. But what I think, particularly for our state HBCUs, we need to make sure the state governments are providing additional funding. And then we also need to make sure the federal government realizes not only in terms of funding post-secondary institutions, particularly the important role, outsized role our HBCUs play in taking students who've been exposed to various stressors. And once again, like I said, providing with the support systems and nurturing them, that other mothering we talked about, and then those students being leaving and being successful.
Here's an idea for you. Why don't we found a way, we're doing it right now, obviously, because we're having an interview, we're talking about it, but let's build upon this. No, let's build upon this, what we have, this platform that we have out here in the media and all of that, and the research and compassion and the knowledge that you bring. Let's make a commitment to make sure that we do all that we can to continue to have these conversations and to raise awareness and see if we can find a way to work together and to collaborate where we can host forums.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's kind of just go back and forth on that and see how we do that. And you know what? Hey, listen, that's what we're all about here. We're just all about facilitating capacity, building initiatives to help strengthen our HBCUs.
Absolutely.
And I believe that's why, you know, I'm a man of faith. I believe the Lord God, he put us together here. And we've been sharing this since we first started the broadcast, now coming up on 8 years. Can you believe that? Wow, we've been hanging out like that. And so, thank you. And so, we know, I believe it's strategic, providential. And so, that's what my thinking is. We can go, this is important what we're doing, but we can help enhance this by working collaboratively in a way where we're actually hosting forums and webinars and putting some boots on the ground stuff together so that folk are aware of that. And I know you're as busy as you are and all that you do, but it's important that we find a way to do that, I believe. What do you think?
I think it sounds like a great idea, Mr. Ray, and I'd certainly be welcome the opportunity to work with you.
Dr. Larry J. Walker, Associate Professor, University of Central Florida, Department of Education, Leadership, and Higher Education. We were talking about today in the HBCU Author Showcase in the service of Black History Month, a piece that he penned called We Are Family, How Other Mothering and Support Systems Can Improve Mental Health Outcomes Among African-American Males at HBCUs. Tell us how we can find out more about what you do, connect with you on social media, and folk can actually go and find this article to read for themselves.
Sure. Like I said, please, they certainly can follow me on Twitter, at Larry J. Walker 2. And I'd be more than willing, people follow me, reach out to me, I'd be more than willing to share a copy of the article with them. As I said, it came out within the last few months. That's something that I'm very proud of. And like I said, you know, Mr. Ray, I've written about this topic and will continue to discuss this issue and look forward to collaborating with you and other people out there who want to continue this dialogue.
Thank you, my friend, Dr. Walker. God bless you. Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
The next time. God bless. Bye-bye.